You're listening to 101.5 FM on UMFM. We got an exciting episode today here on UTalk, where we'll talk about some exciting events coming up. I know things have been a little weird with COVID-19, but these organizations have, you know, gone out of their way to create virtual events so everyone can still be involved. One is the event Run for Women. The other, the International Reggae Afro-Latin Music and Arts Festival. The International Reggae Afro-Latin Music and Arts Festival has decided to transition to a virtual live performance instead of canceling its event. Created to be the catalyst to express the underrepresented talents on a professional platform, the entire event is an opportunity for people to unite. Here is CEO and founder Neville Hamilton and musician Jada to share about this incredible festival and the importance of highlighting culture in music.
Hi, my name is Neville Hamilton. I'm from the IRL Music Arts Festival. I'm the founder and the guy that actually is steering the ship, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, I'm Jada. I'm 19 years old and I'm a singer, songwriter, and musician.
Okay, the IRL Festival is International Reggae Afro-Latin Music Arts Festival. So that's what it's about. It's compassing these three genres of music and cultures of people. The reggae, which is from the Caribbean, everybody knows Bob Marley, right? And the Wailers and all those icons, everybody knows those guys. So we want to put that with the Africans, right, which is our ancestors, because we're from Africa. You know, if you know a little bit about our history, it comes, all of us came from Africa there, the Caribbean, right? And then the Latin part of it, right? So all of these genres, we want to put them together. And all of these people produce a spice that, you know, I think the world should know.
Of course. So when does this festival take place this year? And what's it going to look like with, you know, COVID restrictions and, you know, things a little iffy here in Canada?
Yes, we've been back and forth trying to find suitable time for us to have our people express themselves in the festival. As it is right now, we had to postpone one of them already, which is the Brandon, because we're doing one in Winnipeg and one in Brandon. We had to postpone the Brandon one due to the COVID situation that we have, right? But we are going to introduce a live streaming concert for July 10th, and this will be at 7:30, and the show will probably go for like a 2.5 hours. There you can see a bunch of performers. You know, you're not going to see them live, obviously, as I said, is like in person rather. You're going to see them on the live stream. So that's kind of the way that we're going to do it, so that we can make sure everybody's adhering to social distancing and COVID restrictions, right? And this is going to be very exciting too, you know, because we have some things up our sleeves. You got to check it out, right?
Yeah. So I guess, was adjusting to that kind of online format a challenge? Or did you have some experience with kind of, live streaming and videography beforehand?
Yeah, you know what? We've been live streaming events, like just our DJ segments on the weekends. So we were prepping for this thing probably from like early in the year, you know, when we started this live streaming DJs every Saturday night at 8 o'clock. So right there, we were working out our kinks, so to speak. And now we think we're ready to put it forward. Last year, we did a launch party, again, because COVID was a problem last year. We did our first live stream event there, and it came off pretty well. If you go check our YouTube channel, you'll see some of the performance that were there, and you can hear the quality was pretty good. So, you know, we think we'll be able to pull something off great this time around, even better than the last time.
What are your thoughts kind of like moving forward for festivals? So you're having this kind of online format and live streaming this year. Are you kind of hoping to kind of, once things open up for next year, just kind of have that more online slash live format, kind of combining the two ideas?
Yes, we will continue with some of this because we found out that it was effective. Maybe we'll not necessarily have live streaming while we're having our festival, because you know, some people might, you know, just prefer, you know, to come to the event, and we want people to come out actually so they can see and be a part of it, because it's not just okay to listen it. You got to be in the culture to feel what we feel, you know. And the music is a togetherness thing. Our culture is a togetherness thing. So if everybody come and in person, you know, it is much, much better, you know, to get that full experience.
Yeah, online doesn't have that emotional feel,
yes,
to it that in person does.
Yes, yes. And then our guys who are performing on stage, they feed from that too. And then you'll see the best of them when people is around. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's really hard to have high energy as a performer if there's no one in the crowd to cheer you on.
There you go. It's hard. It's hard. You need that feedback, right? And that, you know, organic feeling.
How long has this festival been in operation, and why did you decide to create it, to start it?
Okay, this festival was like, the planning of it started maybe up 4 years ago, right? We tried different little things to test the water, so to speak, but it officially started officially started 2 years ago when I went on a tour with some band members of mine, right? And it was always on my heart that I don't think we're represented just the way we should be represented across Canada. I think we can do so much better, because I know what it is to party like a Jamaican or party like a Caribbean person. You know what I mean? It's totally a super nice experience, you know, to another level. And the way I see it over the years I've been going to the show, it's not quite there. So I came with some buddies of mine, and then we talked about doing this, you know, and the dream just grew from there, right? And the last part of your question was again?
Oh, just you know, yeah, you've kind of answered it, just kind of why it was started. You were seeing that this sort of the Jamaican culture and Caribbean wasn't being represented properly in kind of the concert scene. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And also, in addition to that, the artist that is performing on stage, I don't think they're properly taken care of also. So that was something that was on my heart, because I was in the field, right? I'm still in the field. And I think that if we can empower our artists, like to be better artists and stuff like that, to carry them to an international level where even your local people that sees them perform, see them in that light as if they're an international artist, then we have achieved our goals. And that's what IRL is about, to the expressing the minority culture in Canada here, to create awareness to each other's culture, and also to bring Canadians and immigrants together. So that's our main goal with IRL here, you know. So it's a big platform we want to create, and everybody can come and participate and then grow Canada in that way as well. We're not going to change Canadians. That's not what we're about, right? But we're going to offer them our culture, right, as a way of, or to our expressions and stuff, so they can actually enjoy what we contribute to the country Canada and the worldwide, right? So we are also very interested in the artists themselves for growth and building.
Yeah, and with a daughter who's a musician and artist, that's probably like also very important to you, to create that scene and kind of mold the concert scene where artists are compensated and kind of acknowledged for, you know, the effort and passions that they bring.
Yes, yes, yes. So you're right on the money there. That's where I'm going with that. So even my daughter here, and it's not only her that sings in the family. We've got an entire band in my family. So even COVID is going on, I'm jamming, right? I'm jamming at home with my kids. So we have all the way from like a 21-year-old down to a 11-year-old, or, you know, that plays in the band with us right now. And these are people you're going to see in the future. So we are creating that environment for them to strive in. And I'm pulling every one of the other cultures that I mentioned, and even Canadians, right? Because like I'm super happy for what we're doing, because I would like to see, you know, in the next year, a very well-known Canadian full Caucasian reggae band in Winnipeg, right? I'm looking to see some things like that by the influence we're putting into the music, right? So, you know, it's all over the world, right? And I can tell anybody this, that if you go some places like Germany, Italy, and, you know, Britain and all those places, when they have their events that is like reggae, Latin, African events, that pulls a huge amount of crowd, right? And it brings economic success to the area as well. So that is also things that we're looking on. If you go and check on our website, you know, aralmusicarts.com, you'll see that we're also pushing businesses and all these other like local businesses, right? And other people who are involved in music industry, and also because we know it takes a community to develop this thing and make it grow to where it needs to be. And that's where our heart is, right? And our passion is. So we build our community to have huge success, like some of these world-class events, right? And
tourism
and everything will come to our area. Yeah.
Yeah, it benefits everyone if events like these are huge successes.
Yes, yes. And, you know, we're hoping to have even a lot of sponsors come on board with us, because I'm catch a dream as well, you know, and we're looking forward to working with people like that, because we know that we'll create that kind of environment that people can strive in the art, music and art sector. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you were mentioning about kind of inspiring people to kind of be encouraged by this culture and kind of embrace the music of it. Maybe a question, would at that point, what is cultural appropriation and what is cultural appreciation? How do we differentiate those two when we're kind of you know, talking about, you know, encouraging people or celebrating a culture?
If you notice, like even back to the world scene, right? If you go on YouTube right now and you can Google reggae bands, you'll see a lot of Caucasians and other races joining into reggae, because reggae doesn't see colors, right? Or music doesn't see colors, and a lot of people start thinking of, like, I love country. I might get crucified for that, but I can tell you that I personally love country music, because if you listen to the soul of the person who's behind the music, it's what I appreciate, right? And how they express themselves. I love my reggae music as well. I'm a lover of all music, right? And that is why for me to transition to something different is totally easy. When I just got here, I played for a country band. I played for a rock band, right? I dibble-dabble, it's everything, because I wanted to know what my environment is about by its culture, right? So I appreciate everything that way. And it's the same way I would like everybody to look at music, because it cannot see color, right? So we need to change the way we think, right? So we can actually appreciate what is there. And I love to embrace all culture, all ethnicity and all of that stuff, right? Everybody. That's where I stand.
We'll tune in for more about this fantastic interview in just a moment. We got some music with E Festival with Saru Carioca.
É hora de vir pra avenida cantar amor. Sambar ao som da bateria já começou. É festa, alegria, pandeiro no ar. E essa harmonia a contagia. Vambora que o samba não pode parar. Deixe o coração livre para sonhar. É festa, alegria, pandeiro no ar. E essa harmonia a contagia. Vambora que o samba não pode parar. Amor, vem, vem para o meio do salão. Vem se acabar na multidão. Tudo seu. É hora de vir pra avenida cantar amor. Sambar ao som da bateria já começou. É festa, alegria, pandeiro no ar. E essa harmonia contagia. Vambora que o samba não pode parar. Deixe o coração livre para sonhar. É festa, alegria, pandeiro no ar. E essa harmonia contagia. Vambora que o samba não pode parar. Amor, vem, vem para o meio do salão. Vem se acabar na multidão. Ei, pirata, príncipe, plebeu. Hoje, meu amor, eu sou todo seu. É carnaval, eu vou me acabar. É carnaval, vamos dançar. É carnaval, eu vou me acabar. É carnaval, vamos dançar.
You're a musical family. This is a question for both of you. What is it about music that you wanted to pursue? What is it about it that kind of gets you excited to want to be performers and bands and hold festivals like these, perform at festivals? And why is it important to, you know, kind of showcase your culture through music?
Okay, so I've been living in Canada for about 10 years. And as a result, I haven't been exposed to my culture as much as I had been in my younger years. So, like, to reconnect to my roots, I decided to get into reggae music. And so far, it's been a great experience for me to learn about my culture, which helps me to find my own identity. And it's amazing that I'm able to take many others along with me on this journey and hopefully inspire them to do the same.
Yes, and I just add to what she says here. Well, she never had a choice, to be honest. Yeah, well, our family, like from they were in my wife's tummy, I always used to just play my guitar to them, and they usually move around a lot, and yeah, cost my wife a little bit of grief. But anyways, you know, everybody came out loving music, and my house is always like some music going on, right? You should call it brainwashing. That was brainwashing them from they were young to love music, eh? But okay, well, you know, and I'm so excited as a father because I'm seeing like creativity coming out through my kids, you know, by they write music, they all actually have a little thing going, because each one of them actually have original songs that they write. We're just about going to hear about it later on, right? And as Jada right here, maybe Jada, tell him something about your song or something.
I just enjoy writing music. It's been that way since I was 9 years old. I remember writing my first song with my dad, actually. Like, he was playing guitar and I started writing some lyrics to it, and it's been like that ever since. I just sit down and write, like, ideas start flowing and I work, like, I just roll with it, honestly.
What is your favorite part of being a performer, Jada?
Like, I just really like writing music and being able to create something and then see other people listen to it and their reactions and how they respond to my writing.
Yeah, that's right? About it. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because right now she also has this single out, and it's not quite where it should be in Canada yet, but places like Germany, Britain, Africa, we're getting like super good response from those people, actually, right? So we're trying to understand more about our Canadian market also, you know, so we're working on stuff like that as we go.
Yeah, trying to find what kind of piques everyone's interest to kind of, you know, get that hit. So Jada, tell me a little bit more about your single. What was your process and kind of, tell me a little bit about it. Your process creating it, what sort of thoughts and feelings went into it, and kind of, the reception from these countries across the world.
Yeah, so I wrote this song when I was 17, and what happened was a melody popped in my head in the line, I know when you lie, all I have to do is look into your eyes. And I just started writing based on that line and trying to tell a story through it. Because I've had like friends or, you know, family members or whatever that has been through similar experiences. And they always go to me and tell me their problems, and I'm there to, like, you know, talk them through the whole process and all that. So I was able to get their perspectives and turn it into a song.
So your music, it sounds like it's very kind of personal, where you're coming from to create it.
Mm-hmm. If it's not my own experiences, it's the experience of my loved ones and those around me.
Awesome. For both of you, just what is your favorite part of music, and who are you listening to right now?
Well, my favorite part of music is actually being on stage playing, right? And like for me right now, because I'm a little bit older than they are, I kind of developed this passion now to help in the industry, or help pull along other people with me. That's what I'm very excited about, the opportunity that I get now to change lies for the future, and, you know, to influence a path, a journey to success. I am enjoying that even more than when I used to be on stage playing.
I love creating something from nothing, like that feeling that, you know, you just sit down and create something brand new and different. It's such a great accomplishment. And I also like the act of getting better. You know, I constantly seek improvement through my work, and like, I just feel this gratification or whatever that whenever I create something better than the last one, I'm like, oh, I'm improving, and it motivates me to keep going, right? And I also have younger siblings, right, that look up to me. And since I started writing music, they've been wanting to get into it. And that just like makes me very happy to see my younger siblings want to do something that I like doing, and then we can do it together, you know? It's just a better experience that way.
Fueling the passions of others.
Yeah. Yes, awesome. That's perfect way to say it. Yeah, love that.
Perfect. And what sort of music or artists are you listening to right now?
I listen to Chronic's Protégé, Leela, you know, some popular reggae artists down in Jamaica. So.
Yeah, I love Margaret Heritage, and Chronix is one of my favorites. No wonder she loves Chronix too. But there are some interesting new artists coming up, like maybe you guys don't know her here, but Coffee and people like those from Jamaica, and Burna Boy from Africa, and those guys are just very interesting to listen to, and just how they Mezo is the other guy?
Mezco.
Mezco, okay. And his musical abilities and
unique.
It's just its own thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it catches every generation and every class of people. And you know, it doesn't matter who you are. Once you start listening to them and that beat or that vibe gets in your bones, you just start tapping your toe before long, you know, your whole body is in it, right? So those guys are very influential to us and our family.
Fantastic. And I know you're trying to crack the Canadian music market right now, but what advice would you give to performers and musicians who are wanting to pursue a career where they're showcasing music from their heritage and culture?
Well, for one thing, you can start calling me. Because I'm the guy that is going to put the festivals on, so yes. I would love to start working with some of these people. The advice I'll give is never to give up and never to settle for less, right? Because if you settle for less, then that creates a whole problem for you. And if you sit on your talent, then you won't get anywhere, right? So keep pressing and asking for people and seeking out people who can help. The funny thing about it, there's lots of help that is available, right? But a lot of the times our people don't know how to access it, right? So the accessibility is a thing, and the knowledge to access it is another thing, right? Because I'm starting to get aware of stuff that I never realized that was there before, right? So I think Canada has a very good program now for musicians and a lot of help, resources and stuff. But you know, it's to know how to get there and to find the right people to work with you, right? And throughout the process. And I'm finding that, you know, we are also trying to put this in place so people with the talent can, you know, we can assist them and help them as we go on. I do have another business that is called Yard Vibes Promotion, right? That is the other side to where IRL came out of, because IRL came out of Yard Vibes. Yard Vibes, we were putting on other events like soccer, all that stuff, and the festival here. Now we are also
Stay tuned for the upcoming interview for the Run for Women. Here's Samayora with Analu and another song from Saru Carioca, Linda.
Yo quiero ser como el agua, saber ser gota de océano, que viste al cielo de nubes y se hace charco en el suelo. Yo quiero ser como el aire, saber ser brisa y tornado, ser aire limpio de mañana, de tarde azul y anaranjado, que vuela en ese perfume de jazmín y el suspiro enamorado, emprende viajes sin rumbo y es que tú de verano. Yo quiero ser como como el fuego. No tiene miedo a arder. Transforma en luz la hoja seca y alumbra aún sin saber. Yo quiero ser como la tierra. Sostiene sin preguntar al más soberbio ser humano y al pez más chico del mar, que es pico de una montaña nevada, campo amarillo de trigo. Nos ven a ser indefensos, arrulla el fin.
COVID-19 has been a drain on everyone's mental health, but women are facing higher rates of mental health issues than men. Over the past year, there have been an increase in women in Manitoba reaching out for support. On July 4th to July 11th, the 9th annual Run for Women will be held as a virtual event. Rita Chahal and Aline McDonald of Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba go in depth of the shared movement in support of women's mental health.
Eileen, do you want to start?
For sure. So hello, my name is Eileen McDonald. I'm the Women's Program Manager here at Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba. So I run the Women's Wellness Group, the Women's Mental Health Speaker Series, our postpartum warm line. I coordinate the Run for Women in Winnipeg that we are going to be talking about later on. And we also just launched our Disordered Eating and Body Image Workshop and Peer Support Group.
All right, Rita, take it away.
I'm Rita Chahal. I'm the Executive Director of Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba. I've been with the association now, just a little, well, about 9 months or so, I would say, in a more permanent capacity. Prior to coming here, I've been in the not-for-profit sector for well over 25 years. So I'm very familiar and passionate about working in the charitable not-for-profit sector. Often, of course, worked obviously with very vulnerable populations. More recently, I've worked in the settlement sector, where we did deal with mental health issues, especially for newcomers, refugees who had experienced a lot of trauma and separation, and just some horrific circumstances. As they fled their countries and moved to a new country, Canada. So that's been a lot of what my experience has been, working on the mental health issues. But I'm really absolutely delighted to be here. Mood Disorders is a provincial organization, as you know. We have staff across the province in different jurisdictions. And we have some very some signature programs, like the women's program that Eileen is responsible for. We also have a great youth program, and then of course our model of our peer support throughout the province. Those are some of the key things that we're very proud of, and we've been around for almost 40 years.
So you mentioned a little bit about what the Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba is. Why not share a little bit more about these programs and initiatives and the work this organization does for Manitobans?
Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba is a self-help organization. It's basically dedicated to advocacy, education, and support for those who live with mood disorders or mental illness and other co-occurring illnesses. Our services and our programs are really based on a peer support model, which again, without getting into academic definitions, and so that the layperson can understand, it's working with someone who has lived or shared experience of a mental illness, and who can provide that peer support. So we are very much a part of a holistic support system within the mental health sector, which involves both. I think of it as in three tiers, which involves the clinical or the professional intervention by medical profession. So there's an assessment, there's the clinical pieces of it, which are managed by doctors, and might include a medication or other therapy. It involves obviously your family, which is an important part of that wellness journey that you must that most people undertake as part of their recovery. And the other piece is the peer support. So having somebody else to talk to who understands what you've been going through. So that's how we see ourselves. We want to. We're not a clinical intervention. However, we are very good at helping you find the right resources that might exist in the community. So example might be if we feel that one of our support staff, peer support workers, or feel that you probably need some additional clinical intervention, we might refer you to clinic or provide you with the resources of what you might be, additional support that you might be needing, other than just the peer support. But the peer support is absolutely critical. What that does is, of course, it's emotional and practical support, but it also helps reduce things like emergency wait times in hospitals. It helps families to who might be experiencing or in crisis situations to be able to provide that and understand. And families can often come to us as well, that we can help guide them and relieve some of the pressure that's on them. In many cases, it helps reduce the hospital visits. And often when people get released from hospital, they know they have a place to go or someone to connect with. And overall, of course, if your mental health is good, then it also impacts very positively on your physical health. So those are some of the general things I think that would be, would be important for your listeners to know about. Eileen can talk more specifically about the women's program.
Coming up in July, in various cities here in Canada, Run for Women. So, Eileen, tell me a little bit about what this program is.
Yeah, so like you said, the Run for Women is a nationwide fundraiser that happens in 18 cities across Canada. So for Winnipeg, Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba is the charity of choice. So everyone comes together, raises awareness, raises funds, recruits more runners to join this big event, and all the money raised throughout this goes back into the women's department here at Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba. So we have a few different programs that we offer that is sponsored by Shoppers Love You Run for Women. So this is such as our women's wellness group, which allows women in our community to come together and learn about positive coping skills that they can implement in their everyday lives. In this group, we talk about the practice of yoga. We do mindfulness. We do walks and talks. We get speakers to come in and talk about diet and nutrition, and it's a nice, wholesome and light recovery process. It's a 6-week program. We also are able to hold our Women's Mental Health Speaker Series that happens annually. It's our signature event here at Mood Disorders. This year, it's going to be starting on Thursday, September 23rd, with a very special guest. I'm not sure if I am allowed to disclose.
No, we're not. We can't. We've got to keep that a surprise.
And ooh, surprises. So everyone has to pay attention and listen.
Yes, I'm very, very certain that your listeners will be anxious to know who our launching speaker is going to be. She is a Winnipegger, but a well-known Winnipegger. We'll keep it a surprise.
Okay, perfect. So I'm not spoiling anything. I won't say the name, but I highly recommend everyone to come out and check out our keynote speaker. She's very reputable. Last year, we had a variety of speakers from everyday women sharing their mental health journeys, to mental health professionals such as psychologists, occupational therapists, who are sharing their knowledge and wisdom of creating mental wellness for listeners. And then we also have our peer support groups, which are open group discussions on daily struggles that we face with mental illness. So there's a facilitator there who helps work through and process the distressing situations that the attendees might be facing. And the facilitator works at educating the attendees with new coping skills that they can carry out and try on their everyday life. We also have our postpartum warm line, which is intended to provide information, hope, and support to individuals struggling with or who know someone struggling with postpartum depression. It's held 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. You can call or text line. And then lastly, we have our new disordered eating workshop, which is intended to provide support, education, and community through the peer support model for anyone struggling with disordered eating, eating disorders, or body image issues.
How important are these programs for the women in our community, particularly, you know, going through COVID, and it's just been a drain on everyone's mental health?
For sure. So we know that women and girls are hit harder by the economic impacts that are happening around the world. Women generally earn less and save less money. Majority are single parent households that disproportionately hold more insecure jobs in informal economy for service sectors with less social protection. So this leaves them, women, less able to absorb the economic shocks rather than men. The United Nations reports that women, both on frontline and at home, are experiencing disproportionate rates of mental illness during the pandemic. We know that women make up 70% of the healthcare workforce globally. Anecdotal evidence shows we have seen higher rates of COVID-related to anxiety and depression in women and youth. And women are twice as likely as men to experience mental illness. So, given all these stats, we really know that women are getting hit the hardest, as well as youth, throughout this pandemic. So we are really trying to create supports that give them positive coping mechanisms that brings them together in community with other women who are struggling through the same thing. And through that, they will feel less alone and more supported through the community.
What I'll add is that While Eileen has spoken quite generally about the overall women's program, a lot of this has run out of Winnipeg. The run again this year, is July 4th through the 11th, as we indicated, and it is generally focused in Winnipeg. But our women's program are also expanded into our provincial regions as well. For example, in Brandon, for example, we have some really great women's programming that's been, initiated. So we work very closely with the region. So, for example, in Brandon, they have a program called Soul Sisters, and they've got a couple of other decluttering and several other women-focused topics that have been quite popular. So, check us out on our website. So. In addition to what's available in Winnipeg, we're also expanding in the regions.
How can our communities help with people on their mental health journeys? And how can we continue to reduce the stigma around mental health and mental illness?
That's a great question, Ryan. You know what? I think that while COVID has certainly played havoc in our lives, this pandemic, global pandemic has... we keep hearing the word social distance is actually physical distancing that has, separated us in many ways. But it's also, I believe, brought us together in many ways as well. I think the fact that people are talking about mental health in a more open and an informed manner. There isn't a day that goes by when the media or our legislative decision makers or corporations or just ordinary everyday citizens are not talking about it, So I think that dialogue that has started when people are recognizing the importance of physical mental health is absolutely critical right now, and always it is, but also mental health, and the two go hand in hand. So I think that education and that information that's being shared, that's important. The fact that we have a new minister of mental health or wellness and recovery in our province, the very first one we've ever had, that is a testament that this is an important issue. And I think the fact that people should be aware that it's not a weakness to ask for help if you're struggling with something. It is actually a sign of strength. Vulnerability is the other side of courage. So sometimes by being vulnerable and asking for help and getting it is really showing and demonstrating that courage that you one needs to have to for their own recovery and their own wellness. Part of the recovery for journey that people go through in mental health is that they have to take their own ownership as well. So you also have, I think that's one of the things that people often forget, or I shouldn't say they often forget, perhaps it's a good reminder that it's okay to ask for help, but you also have to take your own responsibility. You have to do some self-care. You have to be able to set boundaries for yourself. You have to be able to get yourself, inform yourself about what's going on there. So those are some of the things. Programs like yours that are, using these platforms to engage people in and to inform people are really good ways on what the community can be doing. And I do believe that in Manitoba, the mental health community has come together quite well. We're all talking about it, and we pride ourselves in working with sister organizations and being part of a holistic support system for people's journey for recovery and hope and helping themselves. That's how I see it.
Like you mentioned, it can't be overstated the importance of just, especially over COVID, how, having those open dialogues can strengthen relationships and help, give yourselves supports in the hard times. I know for myself, just over a year now, meeting with friends regularly on Fridays over video calls, and then being comfortable enough to talk about our struggles has really allowed us to just become closer as friends, and what we call our physical distance family.
Yes, physically distance. Ryan, I think, you know, when you've got celebrities and people out there that we all look up to as mentors or as people that we aspire to, that you know, obviously have given us lots to be grateful for. People like Oprah and Prince Harry are talking about this. But those are huge platforms. So I think that helps normalize the conversation that, you know, you're not struggling alone. I think it was yesterday that I read the tennis star, Naomi Osaka. She walked off the tennis court because she said she needs to take care of her mental health. And it's more important for her to be focused on that than trying to be in the spotlight. So I think when we have those idols that we've created, you know, that in the world, when they're talking about it openly and being vulnerable and sharing their experiences, that should give us hope and that should give us encouragement to talk about our struggles.
Coming back to Run for Women, COVID-19 has really made events like these have to function differently. So what will this year's events look like?
Yeah, so it is a virtual run that's happening. So again, between July 4th to 11th. So it gives everyone a week to run anywhere, anytime throughout the week of July 4th and 11th. And they just have to complete either a 5K or 10K walk or run in support of women's mental health. They can track this with Apple Watches or tracking apps through their Apple or Android to help keep track of the distance. But yes, it is virtual since we all can't be together in the same space.
How can people participate in this year's event and how can they help out?
Yeah, so if they just go to www.runforwomen.ca, they can sign up as an individual person for the run, or they can sign up as a team captain. And if they're a team captain, they're able to recruit their friends or family members to join in the run and to create more awareness and raise more funds for it.
Yeah, and maybe we should just follow up again with, you know, what the money from this run is going to.
Again, we want to emphasize that we are very, very appreciative and grateful to Shoppers Drug Mart for sponsoring the program across the country in support of women's mental health. And we are the charity of choice here in Manitoba. So what we use the money for is to be able to provide programming around women's mental health. Some of the things that Eileen mentioned, the women's wellness program, our speaker series, our postpartum warm line, our peer support. Now we're doing, we're just starting our disordered eating. We have some new ideas. And these ideas are not just something that we dream up. These ideas and requests are coming from the community. And so that's what the monies are used for. All of the monies that are raised in Manitoba will go to mood disorders. Any increases in funding will allow us to expand on some of the services that are essential for women's mental health.
Where can people go to find out more information about what the Mood Disorders Association of Manitoba does?
Yeah, so for more information on mood disorders, you can just go to our website at mooddisordersmanitoba.ca. I would strongly encourage everyone to look under services, under our online peer support groups, to find the perfect peer support group that is right for you.
And you can always just call our office and ask for information. And if we don't have the answer immediately, we'll make sure that we connect you with the right individual, whether it's a staff or a volunteer peer support worker. We're always looking for volunteers as well. So if you're interested in volunteering for us, by all means, go on our website or call us and we'll help you get started on that. And so we really appreciate the efforts that the volunteer community provides mood disorders to be able to reach out to people. We do have what we call a friendly caller program. So if there's somebody who needs to be in touch with somebody on a regular basis, call us. We'll make sure you get registered for the friendly caller program, and then we match you with somebody whom you can be in touch with on a regular basis. And that really is a one-on-one service. It's completely free of charge, you know, and everything, of course, that you discuss with your peer support worker is confidential.
And I'll leave the floor open for you right now if either of you would like to share a little bit more about the program or anything else that you would like to talk about at this moment.
I would, again, I think either you covered it well. What I would ask is your listeners, if they have ideas and suggestions on what we can help provide them, we welcome those because we really want to build on what the need out there is in the community. The model that we have is we meet people where they're at, not a top-down model and say, this is what you need. So I think if people can understand that, if you come to us and say, you know what, I really need a help in this, we'll make sure that we meet you where you are in your journey and get you the support that you need. And if we are not the ones who can provide it for you, we'll make sure you get connected with somebody who can. So, and I again, emphasize the importance of asking for help if you're struggling with something. Don't be afraid. There's no judgments about this. And we all recognize how important it is to make sure that your mental well-being is equally safe and you're healthy mentally as you are physically.
Tune into 101.5 FM every Tuesday afternoon at 1 to hear more stories from fantastic... Tune into 101.5 FM every Tuesday afternoon at 1 to hear more stories and music from fantastic people across Canada. I'm Ryan Funk. This was U Talk, and have yourself a good one.